Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey!
Why are you here, Joe?
To find you!
Why? You want my place, don't you?
What? No! I want you!
I don't believe you!
Hey Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Sadie.
And this is The Walking Dead Cast, episode 475.
And this episode, we're covering Tales of the Walking Dead, season 1, episode 1, Evie and Joe.
There's a lot going on here. 475, that's like a kind of a milestone. Unfamiliar voice for all of you. It's my guest, co-host, Sadie. Welcome to the podcast, Sadie.
Thank you.
And a new show, brand new Walking Dead. Third Walking Dead spinoff. Sadie, I'm glad to have you here. Sadie's in our Patreon group. She and Dez and I did a really fun episode of the exclusive Patreon podcast, The Zedhead Show, all about our all-time favorite sitcoms.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit related to this episode of Tales of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And how long have you been a fan of The Walking Dead?
A couple years. My husband actually started watching it kind of early on in the pandemic. You know, he kind of run out of stuff. And so he starts watching the show and I was like, ah, zombies, not interested. You know,
right.
but he was like getting really into this show and he's like trying to talk to me about it. And I don't know why I was resisting because I like science fiction and horror and like everything kind of related to the genre. So, you know, so he's watching it like on his MacBook, you know, and then he moves over. Now he's watching on the TV while I'm doing other stuff. And I kind of start like paying attention and watching. And then like all of a sudden, like I'm kind of getting into it. And he's like, okay, well, you need to start at the beginning. So you can't start like, you know, in the middle. So then we kind of binge the whole series.
He went back and watched it all with
he
you
went back
again?
And rewatched all of it. Yeah.
That's a good husband.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and there were so many moments where I was like, I'm so sorry you had to go through this alone because he didn't have anyone to talk to as he's going through, you know, like, especially Glenn,
yeah.
Right? Like that whole arc was just
Lori,
you know, yeah.
In the prison.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Carl having to, you know, so the whole, there's so many points along the way that are really devastating. And yep. And so for him, it was really interesting for him to rewatch kind of like with the knowledge that he had, you know, watching it a second time. And mm-hmm. then for me, just like, yeah, I was just like, this show is amazing. And so then he's like, I found this podcast and, you know, and so then we started listening. So we would watch like 2 and sometimes 3 episodes a night. And then in my commute the next day, I'd listen to the podcast from the most recent one we'd watch just to kind of get like caught up on the whole show and wow, it was just yeah. like this
what
is...
was the podcast should I listen
it's you
oh
we found
cool.
you
oh okay
we found this podcast.
I didn't know your husband. I didn't realize yeah. you were such a new I didn't know like
yeah.
after the pandemic started. Wow. Yeah,
yeah,
so that's kind
of
blows
years.
My
yeah.
mind. I thought you'd been watching the whole time.
No No, I was like aware of it but I wasn't super interested. And then I think also I didn't know that I would have the bandwidth to kind of start something, you know, that already had such a, you know, so many seasons and everything. But oh my God, as soon as we started watching it, I was just like, this is amazing. Cause it's not about zombies. It's about people and psychology. And it's just so many.
Yeah. The Walking Dead just really appeals to a broad audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah.
It gets people who are horror fiends. They start to care about the characters, and people who never thought they would like horror, you know, they're in it for the drama, but then they like the thrills eventually. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. So for sure. So yeah, we just totally got so hooked to it. And then I, you know, joined the Patreon group, and it's such, you know, it's such a amazing community of people. And so it's a lot of fun to interact and read the posts and just have this kind of like this space where you find your people that yeah. speak this, you know, this common language and are familiar, you know, so it's really fun. It's really cool.
So is your husband kind of, what does he think that you're like on the podcast now?
He thinks it's great. He's excited. Cool. So yeah. Yeah. He thinks it's really cool. He said something along the lines of like, you've got a good voice for that. I'm like, at least you didn't say I have a face for radio, because then we'd have to have a really serious conversation.
That'd be different. What's his name?
Aaron.
Aaron. Hey, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, he'll be listening to us. This. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool.
Yeah.
You're coming to the Walking Dead finale party in November.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so excited for that.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll talk a little bit more about that later in the news segment, but if you guys want to learn more about it, go to podcastica.com/TWD finale party. You can meet some of these people we're talking about and watch the show together. So yeah, let's get into the main event here. We're going to be talking about the premiere episode of Tales of the Walking Dead, which is the third Walking Dead spinoff. This one, season one, episode one, is called Evie/Joe. I guess they've at least in this season named all the episodes after the characters who are in them. So what did you think of this first episode in general?
I thought it was fun, you know, I mean, I watched it twice, you know, kind of watched it once just to, you know, kind of like soak it in. And, sure. Yeah, I really like Terry Crews, you know, and so it was cool to see his range and Olivia Munn. So the cast is really, you know, was exciting to watch. And, yeah, it was cool. 'Cause it's like, you know, it's so just encapsulated, it's its own thing. It's like, if someone's never watched Walking Dead, it's a great intro to the show, because there's no spoilers. It's not connected to any other characters, but it gives you the sense and the feel of the character development. And we have some great zombie kills, and, you know, kind of follows the formula along in a way that would be a good intro for people, I think. So, yeah, it was fun. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that thought this would probably go over a lot better if it was earlier in this, like right when Walking Dead was at its peak. This would have been a great time for this to come out, because people were so high on the show. Mm-hmm. And now people are like, oh, that show's still on. So I don't, it's probably not going to do as well as it would have if they would have brought it out earlier, I think. But,
well, they have some really good people, like really, you know, well-known, or at least, I don't know, at least for Gen X, right? Like, we know all these.
That's right.
all the people that
I can't
you
wait
know.
For Anthony Edwards.
Oh, my God. I know.
And Parker Posey's next week. So, yeah totally. I didn't even really know Terry Crews. I saw him in Idiocracy, but I didn't even remember he was in that. And then when somebody said, oh, yeah, I think he was the president, right? Or maybe he was a different character. It's been a long time since I saw that.
He was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine for a while. I didn't really
that's a
get
show
into that
I wanted to watch, but never got around to it. It looks kind of cool to me.
And then I think he's one of the hosts of America's Got Talent, or
that's what I read. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't watch that show either. And I think he did. He hosted Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever for a while.
Oh,
he's a comedian. I mean, he's a Renaissance man. He's a sketch artist. He's a spokesman for women's rights and all kinds of cool stuff. But I loved him in this.
Yeah. Well, he's a super fan of the show too. So he's been a fan of The Walking Dead since the beginning. So it's kind of cool when you get people who are fans of the show on the show, because I think they just bring so much more with them to it. So
yeah, he's into it. He did a great job. And he, I think another cool thing that this show can do that the main show couldn't is bring in these really interesting actors who maybe would not want to commit to a whole series, but they'll do a single episode. And that all the names we just mentioned, I don't think any of them probably, I don't know, maybe they would, but would want to do a full series. But to have Anthony Edwards come in and do an episode, I can't wait to watch that.
I'm so excited for that. Yeah. Dr. Green.
Yep. Dr. Green. Well, I just wanted to say, like, I love this episode. The first time I watched it, I was sort of like, yeah, it's okay. It's pretty good. But then the second time it really started to hit me that it hits at my core in a way, because it's the story of people with different mindsets and beliefs and experiences, mm-hmm. almost opposites, opening up to each other and connecting. And I so love that. That's one of the reasons why I love The Walking Dead, because different kinds of people can connect on it. And, you know, we've had that with the podcast with different kinds of listeners and things like that. And then I started to appreciate just the vibe of the episode was nice. It was well directed. It had some good creepy zombie stuff. Mm-hmm. It was a bit cliched and a bit predictable at times, but I still enjoyed it. So it wasn't like if I think I saw some of the headlines, people were saying, it's kind of meh. And it wasn't the kind of thing where you're just like, oh my God, that was so good. But I really appreciated it. You know, it was good too. It was funny.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't at all bad. I didn't think.
I wanted more. So it's like, I wanted more after
more
that.
Of those
and
characters.
So there was kind of that, like, I felt like, you know, it would be really, I mean, I don't know if, you know, there's no plans for them to expanding these, but I mean, each of these six episodes, I think really could all be pilots, right? So because they're their own story. Yeah. And so they could easily be pilots for another kind of a spinoff, you know, because there's infinite stories you can tell within this universe. And I think that's what one of the things that's so compelling about it, because everybody goes through a similar experience vastly differently from each other. And so I think that just opens up the storytelling.
And the guy, the showrunner is Channing Powell, who was a writer on The Walking Dead for a while. And they asked him if these characters would come back or could come back. And he said, well, there's no guarantee that the show will come back for another season yet. But if it does, he could definitely see them coming back in a future season. And Terry Crews is all for it.
Yeah, I need more Joe.
So, all right, let's get into our points. You go first.
Okay. So the first point, I really liked how in Joe's bunker, he had on the wall, "Days since the whole world blew the game, 402. So it was, I thought that was cute. And, it, you know, in that whole like days, how many days since an accident in a factory or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it let you know exactly where in time you were in the mm-hmm. story. So, you know, you're like a little over a year, not quite a year and a half into it. I read somewhere online that it lines up about to where Rick and company are in the prison and dealing with the governor. So kind of like in that same, you know, cause it's kind of nice to know where it was fitting into the main universe. But, but yeah, so I thought that was a nice kind of like set you off with where you are without having to explain, I've been sitting here for X number of days, you know, Dear Diary. You know?
And it's cute that it's in football language.
Exactly. Exactly. Because he's obviously a sports guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I like that too, that I didn't notice it the first time, but then I read an interview with him and he said, we're 402 days in. And I was like, how do you know that? But then I saw it the second time.
Yeah. I caught it the second time too.
So I want to talk about, just before I get into the story, since it's the first episode of this series, general thoughts about the idea of this series. And I'll start off a little bit more on the pessimistic side, but then move over to optimistic. So a lot of times with Walking Dead, I notice that when new characters come in, a lot of viewers get frustrated and don't care because they want to watch the stories of the characters that they've grown to care about. And it just really highlights that over time, The Walking Dead has become a show about character. I think it's really about the characters, you know, mm-hmm. that we've fallen for and feel close to and want to see succeed and survive and everything. And, you know, if you thought this was going to be a horror movie extended to a long length, kind of is, but I'd say it's more a drama about these characters.
Yeah.
And because they're in such danger, the stakes are so high, it just has us feeling even more like connected with it and engaged and everything. And that's the strength of The Walking Dead, is how strongly we feel about these characters. And this new series can't do that at all.
Right. You know?
Like, nope, that's good. It's going to be different. And so, I mean, unless they go back a lot and show characters that we know in different time periods, which I know they're going to do some, but I think Alpha's the only one this season,
yeah,
as far as I know.
Yeah.
So now, you know, since they don't have that going for this show, the stories have to be really interesting and good. And it hadn't really hit me until I watched this episode that, wow, that could be really challenging for them. There's no time to build long stories or deep character connections. It's like this show is, if Walking Dead is a big long novel, this show's like a little short story each episode. And it got me thinking of other anthology shows. The one that always comes to mind with me is The Twilight Zone, which I love. You ever watch that?
A little bit, not a whole lot, but yeah.
Black Mirror is another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Black Mirror for sure.
Each one of those episodes is all different characters and a different story, but those shows have a really interesting, like, high concept premise, like magic fortune cookies tell the future or something like that, or an astronaut comes back and maybe he's possessed by an alien or something. This show, everybody's going to be basically in the same situation. The world's gone and they're zombies. That's so I was a little bit like, wow, we've already seen a lot of stories with people in this situation. Those are those new characters that we get frustrated with and don't want to see, you know?
And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another anthology style show where everyone's in the same situation each week, I think kind of, is The Love Boat. Did you ever watch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. When I was a kid. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I was thinking, like, that show is kind of about people who are in various stages of relationships or looking for relationships trapped in one place together for a few days on a boat, you know, and see how that, it's almost like a pressure cooker sometimes to see how that will impact them. And so mm-hmm. that was interesting. So this is sort of the zombie apocalypse version of that. It's just different characters in the world has ended and they have to survive. And so can they make great stories about that? And is there any reason to do it? And I was feeling pretty pessimistic about it all until I started to really watch this episode again, started to appreciate it more. And so to be more optimistic, I was thinking if the show is going to be good, then how can they do it? For one thing, I think even though this show looks like The Walking Dead, I think all of us will appreciate it more if we're more open-minded about what it is and what it can be. We can't expect it to be like The Walking Dead because it can't be, as I've
right.
kind of said. It can't be one long story. It could actually be more like a horror movie than Walking Dead if it wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you're
it
right.
could
yeah.
have an episode
yeah.
that's super scary and everyone dies. You know, which I think would be
and who
kind
knows,
of
maybe one of yeah, those is going
to
be like
I'd like that. I want to yeah, see they, yeah. they'll blow our minds. I don't think they're going to do that, but it'd be cool. I read that the episodes may be different in tone from one another, so that's mm-hmm. one way it could be. But it's an opportunity for some good writers to make little movies about people who are all in this world where society has collapsed. And this episode, I really liked that premise of these two people who had opposite ideologies learning to connect. And I did like the characters, as we already talked about. I feel like it's a shame we don't get to spend more time with mm-hmm. them. Another bonus for this show is some people get impatient with storylines on The Walking Dead taking too long to play out. This episode, each story is done in 45 minutes.
Yeah. I thought they did a really good job with the pacing and the timing yeah, of the show.
Me too.
Because they really packed a lot in with these characters that we've never met before
yeah.
and then found, you know, where we cared about them and we're worried about them and we're concerned, you know, for what they're yeah. dealing with. And so, I mean, they really, I think that really the writing and the direct, I mean, everything just came together in a way that it didn't. And I don't know how long they've been planning these shows. I get the feeling they probably had a lot of time to really craft them well. It didn't feel rushed mm-hmm. at all. So I really appreciated that it was, even though you had only those 45 or 47 minutes, but you really did get a lot packed into that without a lot of that, you know, characters reading off the character card, kind of, I'm the type of person that blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. Like it really, it showed us instead of telling us who they were. And I thought that was really cool.
I know, me too. I think it's very impressive that they got so much done in so little time. And I think it's the kind of thing that if you're watching and you're not really thinking about that or paying too close attention, you might not be as impressed with it. But hopefully if you listen to a podcast and hear us talk about it, you'll realize that, yeah, actually that is pretty impressive to be able to do that, like you just said, in such a short time mm-hmm. and not feel rushed, you know?
Right.
Good job.
Right. Yeah.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So that's about all I had on that point. What's your next one?
So my next point is Joe and Evie's having these similar perspectives, but vastly different backgrounds. So kind of what we touched upon a little bit before mm-hmm. is like, he's this total, like, you know, sports guy, football, Ohio. I don't really know football stuff.
Me neither.
But, you know, so I'm sure there are a bunch of references that like, mm-hmm. you know, went right over my head, but
yep.
I love that they both had hope and they both came from a place of hope and they both had, the, you know, really similar where Joe, you know, early on, he's appreciating the sunset with Gilligan, you know, and he says, you know, some things are still nice, you know, and it's like still kind of taking that, like looking around, like even though the world's totally gone to shit, this is a beautiful sunset, you know, mm-hmm. some things are still nice. And then, you know, later on, Evie says, you know, the world reminds me there's still magic. So they both have this hope and this optimism about, you know, about life when there's every reason not to.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're both from these very different, you know, backgrounds and lifestyles, but they still have so much in common, which I think, you know, kind of is something that we could use more of.
Mm-hmm. And also you know, their habits both cause them to act in ways that are beneficial once society is over. Like she's an organic vegetable gardener and he's mm-hmm. a prepper who like hoards supplies and everything. So they kind of have that in common too, that they just have this ability to survive when most people didn't.
Right.
I have a lot to say about them too, but first I'm going to talk about something that I think was crucial in what we mentioned before, which is getting a lot done in a little bit of time. And that was the dog, Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe's relationship with the dog was adorable. The dog was so great.
Yeah.
It just seemed so lovable. And, It accomplished a lot really fast. It made us care about him because he loves his dog. And how can you not care about a guy who loves his dog? Mm-hmm. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And he even has cute doggy pajamas. And
yeah, the pajama pants were the best.
Uh-huh. And I love the montage where they're watching. He's like watching football and then the dog pees and then he's watching football and the dog pees. Mm-hmm. It's like that's pretty much his whole life. There's no other stuff in the montage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was supposed to be this guy who doesn't trust society very much. You know, he's closed himself off to the world for the most part, but because of the dog and his relationship with the dog, it really made him seem like a warm guy. And that's good. Like some of us might have preconceived notions about a guy who does that, but the dog helped us see into his heart a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
And then when the dog peed on his blanket a little bit and he carried him outside, that was really sweet. But then the zombies approach and the zombie scenes were good. I felt like, ooh, creepy.
They were tense.
In all of them, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. There was peril, you know, you were worried. Like, yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were creepy, which I love. Mm-hmm. And it was all misty. And then the dog attacks one and the Zeds bite into it and he goes, no. And it was super sad. And this is 3 minutes and 15 seconds in and we're already caring about this guy and wrecked for him. You know, mm-hmm. we feel so sorry for him. Just quick like that. And the dog did another crucial thing, which is set him off on his journey because...
Yep.
It gave him a reason to go out searching for companionship, because this dog was filling his emotional needs. And now the dog's gone and all his Sudokus are finished. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So that was important too, to give him a reason to go out looking.
When he reached over to pet Gilly and he wasn't there, you know, I don't know if I caught it the first time, but I definitely caught it the second time. He's watching the football and just because you know, you fall back into that routine of, sure. So he reaches over and, you know, and the dog's not there. And it's just like, that totally broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for a moment, he forgot that the dog had died.
Yeah.
And you then, know, and then you, but then it's like, you re-grieve that loss again, because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, you know, and so that really like, that made me it. Care for,
yeah.
So it really felt for him.
Whereas on fear, he would have been like, I miss this dog because it was fulfilling an emotional need that I have not been meeting. Yeah, and now I need to go out and get that need met. Whereas here they just show him reach for the dog and it's not there, yeah. and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. You feel it too.
Yeah. And so I thought that was a really beautiful, subtle direction, you know, point yeah. that they did. So I think there was a lot, you know, kind of going back to like the time they must have taken to really craft this episode, because there were like little moments like that, that like, I didn't realize that's only 3 minutes, you know,
yeah.
into it. And you're already invested. You're already emotionally invested in this guy. Mm-hmm.
And I also want to take this moment to just mention that I really feel like Fear the Walking Dead has made people think that, oh, Walking Dead spinoffs are not worthwhile, because look at this one. And even if you're still watching it, a lot of people, it's just because they're a completist. And those people did not give World Beyond a chance. And Lucy and I could talk it up like crazy. And it did kind of start off like a CW teen drama. But the second season,
I loved
we
it.
Thought was
I
riveting.
Loved World Beyond. Yeah.
So
yeah.
good.
The first season was, you know, it was good.
It had
the
moments.
Second season was yeah. fantastic.
It was yeah. so good. And people yeah. are like, okay, whatever. So, okay, fine. But my main point is just that don't let Fear the Walking Dead make you think that they can't do a good Walking Dead spinoff. Now that I've seen this episode, I've heard from Lucy, next week's episode's great because it's already out on AMC Plus. Mm-hmm. And World Beyond was so great. I'm just like, yeah, you just need good writers and actors, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
And then last point is, I didn't get it until I was writing my notes that he decided to call the lamb Skipper because his dog was Gilligan.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
I caught that. And anyone that listened to our podcast about yeah. Sitcoms will know that one of my early childhood crushes was Gilligan. So,
and you picked Gilligan's Island as one of your
yeah.
sitcoms, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so, I mean, maybe that also helped me feel for the, you know, like, oh, Gilligan, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, right. My little buddy.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was cute that they wanted to, at the end, name the sheep. Or, is it a sheep or a lamb?
I thought it was a lamb, but I don't really know the difference.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I think they called it a sheep at some point, because at first I thought it was a goat.
Maybe, but I thought a lamb was like a baby sheep, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. We're gonna get emails from
yeah
from,
teach yeah. us about let lambs us know. And football
yes exactly. Might,
if it's the same listener teaching us both, I'll be super impressed.
Yep
Okay, next one.
Okay, so for so Sandra she gave me major Buffalo Bill vibes.
Like, yeah, totally. With that lipstick.
The lipstick, exactly. That's what I've written down, is especially the lipstick, right? So it's like that
some
whole...
Silence of the Lambs, by the way, people yeah. don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Very, you know, and even just to the point of like where like you've got the sound distortion happening, and yeah. so she's like going in and out, and like, but yeah, like, so her whole, like, that whole thing of her, you know, drugging him, but then I was like, so she just has pot brownies, like, just at the ready. And maybe she does, right? Because she's just living in this, like, totally sick bunker. And so maybe mm-hmm. she, you know. But yeah, so, like, that whole thing with her. Because then it's, like, was she already like this before the ZA? Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, she's got 12 men's watches in, like, this, you know, trophy case, right? And so it's, like, okay, so she, you get the feeling that she has lured in, or at some point had in, 12 people that she's killed and kept their watches as trophies. And so I thought that was really kind of like, they, you know, they, it was such a shocking turn of events. I did not see that coming at all. Like, I mean, it was just such a, like, which I thought was great, because a lot of times you're like, oh, this is going to be this. And I got the creepy vibe, but like,
yeah. Whew. When he first started talking to her, I was like, oh, this is cute. But then as it went along, not too far in, I was like, I think she's going to turn out to be crazy and he's going to end up with Evie. And then almost immediately after that, he started getting groggy and she came in like you're saying, and I'm like, yep, it was predictable to me, but it was creepy and effective anyway. So
yeah, I didn't think she was going to be like that crazy. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I didn't think she was going to be like that crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was going to be like a Kathy Bates, you know, hobble right. his ankles.
That's what I thought about too. She went all, what's her name? Annie Wilkes on him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it is only 45 minutes, so you can't do as much character development as you might want to. I did feel a little bit like, okay, she's just kind of a cliched crazy person. As I said, effective. It was very well done as far as creeping us out. But then I kind of, maybe I just want to bring a little bit more meaning to it than is actually there, but maybe they're trying to say, okay, this is like the extreme of a person who closes themselves off from society to the point where they don't trust anybody. And then they just go nuts because they don't have any companionship. You know, this is like a warning of what Joe could have been if he would have followed his more antisocial tendencies.
Right. Right. Well, but I mean, she also, I mean, you know, and that's the thing is because you don't get more episodes or backstory. It's like, what, like, how did she afford that? Like, that bunker was amazing, right? It's like, how did, you know, like, anyway, yeah, it was,
I don't think she was like that. I think she became like that. I don't know though,
but to have that level of a bunker pre-ZA.
Oh no. Yeah. I think, yeah.
You know what I mean? So she had to already have some like antisocial.
Yeah. Well, they met because they were on, and I hope, I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, so I hope it doesn't come off that way, but I don't know a better word for it, but like prepper bulletin boards, right? That was their chat, and her screen name was You Should Be Scared. So she had some kind of a mindset that things are going to go bad, like him, and I need to be ready for it. So the world is a bad place, basically. That's her. You know, you got to have some amount of that, or the world is dangerous. Yeah. Things are not as stable as they seem. If you think so, you're naive and you need to be ready for everything to just go to hell.
But, you know, now that you mentioned the screen names, right? So she's You Should Be Scared and he's Dot the I.
Yeah.
So that's, they're two very different, you know, his, so he is like, make sure you have all the things prepared, right? Dot the I's, cross the T's, you know, and I didn't even think about this, but it's like, that's his perspective.
Yeah.
Where hers is You Should Be Scared.
Right.
Like, so that's coming from two very different kind of places.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I think there's a grain of similarity there. It's just like, be ready because something could go wrong, but she's more extreme. Like,
yeah.
Totally.
And then also, obviously, that's a warning that you should be scared, right? Of her.
Yeah, right.
You should be scared.
I mean, who knows? Yeah, maybe she was a total psycho from the beginning. But one thing I didn't understand is the first thing she really says that completely says, okay, I'm crazy, is she says, I wish I'd met you when you were still who you actually were. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
We could have been happy, she says. Like, is she saying he's not who he actually was? I think, well, then she goes on to say, you know, you're here to take this place from me, right? And she goes, no, I wanted you. And she goes, I don't believe you, which was freaking
That was beautiful. Yep.
So I guess she thought in her, somehow made up a story in her head that he used to be sincere, but now he's turned into a thief or something.
Maybe it was like before the ZA, like maybe it was like, you know, when you were still you. So before they'd gone through this thing, because then it wouldn't have been trying to take her resources necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it was kind of like,
so
from
she,
that perspective.
Yeah, right. It was harder to trust him after the ZA when everybody, like, she met people who were after her stuff. If you can believe what she said, that a bad man came and she killed him. It was a creepy ass segment.
Yeah.
Very. And I kind of like that, you know, Evie comes and she gives her the brownie too, and I think she just has a tolerance to weed, so it didn't really impact her that much.
She's talking about how she's like a weed farmer.
Yeah.
She's a connoisseur. I loved how she, you know, said something like, you know, it's really shady to give someone an edible without letting them know. And it was just because as soon as she took a bite of the brownie, I was like, oh, she, that's not going to do anything to her, you know, like, so when she's like, are you relaxed? She's like, no, why should I be, like, yeah, that was.
And I guess she did let him know, because he said, how is this going to help me? So I think she gave it to him for his pain for his leg.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. That makes sense.
So she did kind of tell him, I guess. But
well, because he was like, wow, this really packs a punch. So I guess he was expecting it to do something, which I didn't even
catch. Right, and his tolerance is probably lower. But she could. I mean, those things can be of any strength. And if it's not regulated like it is now in California, and it's just someone homemade it, you never know what it's going to be. But also, it takes way longer than that to kick in, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, dramatic license.
Right.
Okay. So let's see. What do I got? Prepper versus hippie. We've already talked a little bit about it, but I'll just go into a little bit more detail. So Joe's a prepper. I mean, these are like the stereotypical aspects. I guess loving football doesn't make you a prepper, but he's a manly guy working out. Mm-hmm. He has these gas masks. He wears what looked like an army vest or something to me. Fully stocked on food. He had shelves full of canned food and everything. And he said he was prepared for the end of the world and also isolated himself remotely so, you know, people wouldn't be able to find him. Mm-hmm. And he said Evie was the most time he spent with anyone other than his dog in years, even though we're only 402 days in. So he was already by himself. Evie, she has a greenhouse on a gray water system with lots of organic vegetables and weed. Her books are Meat is Not Green, The Path to Zen, Mapping Your Past Lives, and The Big Book of Weed. Whenever she kills a zombie, she says, may your next life be blessed. And I love when she said she had him caught in that net and she goes, couldn't reach your knife, huh? Too much time on weights instead of core, which is a comment on the effectiveness of yoga versus weight training. So another highlight of their differences.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, my core is fine.
Yeah. Right. And she gives him that crystal, which to dispel his negative energy and all that. And for one, it would have been hard for me to picture Olivia Munn as the spiritual type before, because in her interview she seems just kind of sharp and pragmatic and stuff, but I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, right? I thought she was very, very believable as that character. And both of them play their characters. They could have been very stereotypically
those people,
but they felt very genuine. So she felt very genuine to me. You know, yeah, when she would say, you know, to everybody, you know, may your next life be blessed, you know, after she's killing, it kind of reminded me of in World Beyond, you know, where they're putting the flowers in the eyes, you know, that, you know, just kind of like, these used to be people. So there's like that you kind of forget that, you know.
Yeah, it makes you feel what's behind it
with the way she says it. So her intention was really beautiful with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like, these guys, as I just rattled these lists off and even used the stereotypical names, prepper and hippie, that's how you sort of categorize someone to the point where you feel like you don't need to think about them anymore. But the way they played the parts, and I really think the theme of the episode too is, hey, there's, even though someone looks like something and you might think, you know, there's a human being underneath there, and, you can't just label them and feel like there's nothing else to learn and that's it, you know. And they both got that about each other by the end, so
yeah.
And you're the way they acted it, like, I never she could have really just played up the whole airy fairy kind
of spacey kind of I mean, she was badass, you know. She could hold her own. She was just such a compelling character.
And him too. He could have been.
Yeah, they both were.
Just a.
Yeah, he could have been like a meathead. Like,
right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So I was a little confused about her story. With him, I feel like he was more the protagonist and she kind of changed him. Mm-hmm. She was more right, I think. I don't know. But because he was saying, my life, it never got started. I had something precious and I did everything to make sure no one could touch it. I made it worthless that way. That was a bit Fear of the Walking Dead, I got to say. But she's like, well, it's start now. It's not over. You have a person standing right in front of you. Maybe there's more out there too. So that was kind of where they, the springboard for their next part of his life. But her story, she said her husband would paint people he hated to process and flush out his demons. And mm-hmm.
when
Hayden Payton. And when she went to start the organic farm with her friend, he didn't like that. And he said he was going to do a series on her, not just one painting. And so now she's missing him and going to look for him. And she finds his place with all his paintings, looking through to see if any are of her. And she sees all these people. Yeah, hated him. But then when she comes on her own painting, she says loved. And I'm like, I didn't get that. Did you?
Yeah. So his whole thing of like, I think, well, now that I'm thinking more. So initially I just thought it was like, yeah, like he was going to do this. So they said a whole bunch of horrible things to each other the last time they talked. Mm-hmm. So they definitely had a whole bunch of unresolved stuff. And so I had this conversation with my husband today. He's like, I don't even understand why she went to the cabin just to look for a painting. And I'm like, she wasn't looking for a painting. She was looking for Steven.
Yeah.
You know, she was hoping that he would be there. You right. know, so it's like looking for the painting is the way of acting like you're not really looking for this person. Or maybe it's also like letting yourself know that like they may not be there. So that's not the only, you know, like not to be, you have another reason other than just looking for this person
so that things ended badly with.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then when she's going through these paintings, because she knows that he did this, that I thought it was just cute, the Hayden Payton.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's going through and it's like, yeah, so he hated this person. He hated this person. And then when he got, you know, when he painted her, it was with love and it's a beautiful portrait. And so I think when she said love, cause it's like hated.
Yeah.
So, you know, cause it, she's saying what he felt, right? So he hated all of these people. And then when she got to her, she paused and it's, you know, it's a beautiful portrait. I hope she got to keep it, you know, like in real life, cause it's really lovely.
Right.
But you know, she says loved and she says it in such like a soft and, you know, like kind of this like, realizing that even though they had strife, you know, and problems and all that, that when he went and chose to paint her, he did it with love and not hate.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I just thought I was in this mindset of if there's a painting of her, it means he hates her, but you're right. All the paintings were very chaotic and ugly,
distorted faces. Yeah. And yeah, very, you know, and hers was just, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So, okay. And then she says, I hope you made it. And it felt kind of like she was letting go of him there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's in part.
Yeah. Because she needed that closure. Right. Yeah.
Like, well, I think she was kind of thinking maybe if she found him something they could bond back together again, maybe. But I think this episode wanted to leave us with the idea that maybe it could be romantic between Evie and Joe, but it wasn't that yet. But it felt like it could be. Right.
It totally could be if we had a series.
Really, right. And if they show them again, I bet you they'll be together already. We won't get to see the romance happen. Last thing on this, one reason I like this whole premise is that I always talk about when reviewing episodes and stuff that, you know, people always want the characters to be badass and they root for them sometimes to kill. They can get really bloodthirsty. You know, if someone is not trustable, you should just kill them. And I've always said, well, I think you need more vulnerability too. You need a balance. And they're like, vulnerability is weakness and you're naive and you would die. Maybe so. But I just think that part of survival is being in a group of people who you trust and who are loyal to you. And the only way to have that bond with people is to let your guard down a little bit. And you have to do it in a smart way. Like she did, she had the gun on him and she had him cuffed. And, I felt kind of bad for him. He got dicked around a lot this episode, but, you know, she at least did something. She didn't just trust him right away. He had to earn her trust, but I think you have to, in order to even do it that way, it's still risky and you got to take risks to survive, because if you're just on your own, you have less of a chance to survive. And the people who can survive the best are in the largest communities. So I just liked the whole message of this episode for Joe, which was to open his heart back up to the world a little bit.
Right. Well, and when she's going through his pack, right? And so yeah. one of the things that I'd written down is she says, people only carry important things now, you know? And so it's because it's like, yeah, like, what are you going to take with you? What's important? And, you know, and like we, you know, we live in the North Bay. We've had to evacuate from wildfires, you know, a couple of times over the last few years, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, we've been lucky to not lose anything, but, you know, I have family that, you know, lost their home in Santa Rosa and, you know, like a lot of people that I know. And so it's like, what do you grab, you know, and what's important now is not what's important in the ZA. Right. So it's like, you don't need to grab your passport and your marriage license and birth certificates and stuff. Like what's really important. So it was really interesting that she's going through mm-hmm. his pack because it's like, this is going to give her a window into who he is.
Yep.
You know,
it's and not so when cool, she's, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah. But, you know, but that's part of her, you know, as yeah. Yeah, that, I think that's part of her discovery of who he is, right? Because she's like, because when she reads it, she's like, puppies and poetry, who are you?
Yeah. That moment, I think, was when she first really looked past his stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And that's yeah. when she felt empathetic towards him and he seemed hurt that she was doing it. And she immediately stopped. I'm sorry. But it right. did help her to sort of drop her.
Yeah, I think that helped her. Yeah. For sure. Well, and, you know, because he lays down to go to sleep, turns his back on her.
Yeah.
And she, you know, immediately comes up and, you know, puts the blanket on her. Right. Yeah. So it's like, it's very, you know, very maternal that she's, you know, mm-hmm. kind of
caring.
Like apologizing, like, you know, here, let me do this nice thing for you. And, you know, but still cautious though. Right. She didn't, you know, still a little cautious.
He still had his cuffs on. And yeah. even though in that moment he turned his back on her, he wasn't, mm-hmm. she had softened towards him a bit, but he hadn't. And I don't blame him. She's got a gun yeah. pointed at him. And, but I think it was the next day, she mentioned the thing about the sunset and magic. And he was like, there's mm-hmm. no magic. You got your gun on me. And this is all. And then she yeah. looked hurt and he goes, okay, I'm sorry. There are some nice things. So you could tell that he was softening towards her too.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's good to see.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. What's your next one?
Okay. So then my next one is the big fight they have, right? So when yeah. the bike, he's like, let's go. He's got the bike running and then she's like wait and he should have turned the bike off, like
yeah,
full
he
stop
should
have
yeah.
turned it off. And so the whole story about how he's blaming her, you mm-hmm. know, we're in this because of you and I lost everything, and it's like, bro, like you and he's super mean to her, and I can't remember what he said specifically except for, you know, he's like, the whole thing about if Steven really knew you better than you knew yourself and
yeah,
he did a series on
knew.
You then maybe he was right and maybe he knew. And
he said she was naive.
Yeah. And then too. He says, I'm team Steven. And it was like, damn, like that was like really, really, because it's like, bro, like you should have turned the bike off. Like you should have turned. So, yeah. so that really, you know, but you have to have conflict, right? Because you have to have something to overcome. And mm-hmm. so, you know, but that.
It was interesting because they had spent the whole time slowly getting comfortable with each other
yeah.
and getting to like each other. And then this happened and it just brought out the worst. Like she said, he said, you're naive. And she said some mean things to him too.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's all those things that you had been sort of, you know, just the most, well, it's like anybody, if you're in a relationship and you get in a fight, sometimes you say things that you regret later.
Yep. Yep. Bells that can't be unrung.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of, you know, and then like just kind of on the whole deal with the sheep, right? So, or the whatever that it, first it was just like, who has time to like write a note, tie it to an animal, say, thanks for the bike, tie it to a cinder block and then steal, you know, who's carrying all this around, right? You know, and then when I gave it more thought, okay, this, you know, whoever this person is that's, you know, walking around with this animal comes across this thing. And so they could have just taken the bike, put the sheep in the little sidecar and gone on their way. Right.
Yeah.
But instead they left. So it's like, they paid for the bike. They made a trade. you know? And they, and so I thought that was really interesting. The more kind of giving it thought. I mean, obviously it screwed them in a sense because now they don't have the transportation or any of their supplies.
And they didn't agree on this trade, but at least
But the person was, so the person was a complete shithead, right? Like they gave, you know, they gave something. It was like the leave a penny, take a penny, you know, like, well, I'll take your bike, but I'll leave you, you know, this animal. So.
Yeah, that was weird. Like, why did they?
You knew it was
going
to happen, and it was so tense waiting for it to happen because it's like he didn't turn the bike off.
Yeah,
and he goes in there, they're talking and talking. And I'm like, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And then I didn't expect it to be replaced with a farm animal, but you know, it was that tension of like, ah.
It's a little dumb because in 402 days, in I feel like they were finding cars left and right.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So then. Was it an electric bike? Because it seemed like it was an electric bike.
I don't know how they would charge it, though.
That so the first time we watched through it, I'm like, I thought for sure it was an electric bike because it didn't really make any sound. You know, there was no like sound, you know, and it seemed like he was flipping a switch and turning it on versus like, you know, I mean, I don't ride bikes, but like revving it or whatever. But, It made the sound. It sounded like an electric vehicle. Oh. And I'm like, how the hell?
Did they have electric bikes back then a lot?
Or did he trick it out?
Yeah.
Because
I would guess not. And that they just didn't have it make a lot of sound because they needed to have the dialogue. But maybe you're right. I don't know.
It seemed like it was electric. And that really bothered me because it was like, here we are in 2022 and it's like people are concerned about buying electric vehicles because there's not enough infrastructure to charge them and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, where are they charging it? Is it solar opera? I mean, I just, you know, but it, so that kind of bothered me because I'm like, how the hell does he have an electric bike?
Right. Well, I should mention, since you brought it up, just get an electric car. Don't worry. They're building more and more chargers all the time.
Yeah.
I have an electric car. I've never once had a problem.
Yeah.
Just so
if we know. if we had a garage, we would have an electric car, but we don't have a garage.
So. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to be able to charge it at home.
Yeah.
Or at least that makes it way, way better.
Yep.
So I had a thing on how their relationship evolved because, I mean, it is a bit cliche that two characters start off not trusting each other and then grow to care about each other, but it was done well. So he's captured in this trap. She's going to steal his motorcycle, which isn't nice. That's another trade, though. At least she had, that was a way better trade. She was going to give him her whole
house. Yeah, you have this amazing place to stay. Yeah.
Then he can't, you know, he says she can't drive it without him because of, what was
the
it?
Kill like switch.
Kill switch. Mm-hmm. And then he's putting in his earbuds to drown her out, but then he's singing country music and she sings along with him. So that felt a bit like she was trying to connect a little or.
Yeah.
Loosening up at least. Then when she goes through his journal, we talked about that and she, I think, saw him differently after that, puppies and poetry. And then she covered him with a blanket. Then he softened a little bit around the whole sunset. I guess we've already gone through some of this stuff. And then I think when they had to fight the zombies in the middle of the night, he said, undo my handcuffs. We have to fight. And I thought she did, but then she didn't, huh?
She handed him like the two little hatchets.
Oh, that's all.
But he had, so he had those two hatchets, but yeah, he had to do it handcuffed.
Oh man, that's messed
up. That
was
a sick fight scene. That was so good.
When she started busting out those moves.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. Like, you know, yeah, I'm like, because it's like, you don't know what's going to happen because it's a one off. So it's, they could have been like, that's the end. They die or she dies or whatever. But, yeah, it was great. And that zombie with the hole in its chest was just
very cool.
Oh, it was so good. And when they're like, oh, someone took its heart out. And like, I think she says, I hope it was after they died.
Yeah.
You know, because again, it's that like, may your next life be blessed. Like, you know, concern for who this was as a person.
Like Rick used to be, but.
Yeah. Before he's like, what? Covered.
No, yeah. Now he doesn't even care about real people.
Right.
yeah, that zombie was so cool. And the whole scene was great, how they were surrounded and it was misty. And then, anyway, right after the fight, she's like, okay, take him off. And I guess, I don't know. I was a little bit like, well, why would you suddenly trust him? Like, of course he's going to fight the zombies. That does, how does that mean he's trustable? But I guess, you know, they fought zombies together. So.
But they fought them together, right? So yeah. He could have also like just been like, peace out too, right?
Right. And ran away or killed her.
Yeah. But yeah. They went through this, you know.
Thing together, yeah.
Exactly. They survived this event together. And so that, mm-hmm. you know, shared trauma.
Then he lets her drive and they're friends. And then by the end, when he says, I never thanked you for coming back. And she goes, you don't have to. And he goes, thank you. That was really moving. Mm-hmm. So, I really, it is impressive that they could make you care about these two friends in such short time. And that's what I love. One thing if they can do as good of a job going forward, the writers are forced to be really economical with things. So mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Whereas on the main show, they think, we can take a whole season to tell these two characters' story.
Right. Right. No, I thought it really had like, it had heart. It had humor. You know, one of the best quotes was, you know, at the end, after they hatchet Sandra in the chest, which my husband and I both were like, yeah, that was awesome. But when he's like, you forget, he's totally high. So he's like, why am I so hungry? What's happening?
Laughing.
That was, you know, laughing. He's like, that was fucking traumatic.
But he's giggling. Like, I think the way he played it, I would be shocked if Terry Crews doesn't have personal experience with getting the giggles while high.
Yeah. It seemed pretty authentic.
Exactly. That was so funny. I love that.
Just talking about the episode, it's just like, I need to watch it. I loved it. I just loved it. It really did. It was just good. It delivered on so many levels. It delivered on funny. It delivered on tense. It delivered on, you know, it's kind of scary and creepy. Like you just really, you know, it was great.
Good stuff. Yeah. Those reviewers who were saying, man, they need to get a heart.
Yeah. Well, the thing that, but the one thing that kind of did bug me though, and I think they left her bunker. They left her as a Zed in the bunker and they left. And it's like, her bunker was amazing. They have no supplies. They have nothing on them. And where are they even going? So it's like, that feels like that sets it up for a series or for a follow-up, because now they're going on this journey. Whereas if this was really just a encapsulated one episode, it would have ended with, now we're going to live in this really cool bunker. And you know what I mean? And
I do, but I think thematically that wouldn't have been good, because the
wouldn't be compelling for the story at all.
Yeah. It's like, let's not be afraid. Let's experience what beauty there is in life. Hold up in this bunker. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I guess.
It doesn't quite work.
But I mean, like supplies, anything, you know, throw a bag of food together or something, you know?
I'm sure. Do you ever listen to Talking Dead with Chris and Jason?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're probably talking about that a lot. Like,
yeah.
Why did they stay in the bunker?
Yeah. Like, cause we're just like, that bunker was amazing.
Yeah, so. It was. It was all
but
cool.
I guess they were both, you know, but
lighting and stuff.
He's living in this bunker, and that's part of his, you know, his character development is to go out into the world, right? To open himself up. So I guess it wouldn't make sense for him to then hole up in another bunker.
I think that's why. Yeah. All right. I'm all out of points. What about you? I just have notes.
I'm out of points.
Okay. Nope. What about random notes?
So random notes. I love the postcard travel montage that they had as they were, you know, traveling along, and it's like the postcards going across, you know, welcome to, I mean, you know, Ohio, or they're in Ohio and then they end up in Michigan. And then when they leave at the end, it's the postcards and they're saying like, welcome back. So I thought that was kind of interesting that they're, you know, travel. But so I thought that was like, that was creative. Cute. And it was kind of hokey, but then it was fun. And it's, and because you, because you only have this, you can't have them deal with all these cars that are abandoned on a highway and deal with a bunch of, you know, cause they just don't have time. So they didn't have to tell that story and they just montaged it, which I thought was cute, you know, kind of way to get through the travel part.
Mm-hmm. I like, when shows like in Indiana Jones, you see the little red line going.
Oh yeah. The airplane
the
going.
Whatever,
yeah. A nod to Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, right? Like the little moment, but I think that's kind of, I think we've gone over pretty much all my notes.
Okay, I just had a couple. I thought the opening sequence was cool. It sounded, the music, a bit Walking Deadish, but its own thing. The drum sounded a little bit like a marching band.
Yeah, military kind of sounding. Yeah.
But it was a screen divided into six segments, I think, for the six episodes in the first season, with like a tear thing in between each one. And one was a bunch of fire. One was a creepy graveyard. One was a skull with a snake coming out of its nose cavity. One was a big red full moon with a woman staring into a window of a house that was lit from within. One was a motorcycle and a sidecar, which was this episode.
Yeah.
And then one was like a factory or something. And then it resolved into a full screen of the motorcycle and the sidecar.
So, I didn't notice any of that, so I need to watch it again.
Yeah,
check it out. I liked the music, and I saw the sidecar, and I thought, like, what if that shows up again? Like, what if that's an Easter egg, right? Like, what if that shows up again somewhere in another episode, somewhere down the line? You know, like, that'd be kind of interesting.
What, the sidecar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because it was, like, someone was the focal point of that, right? So someone stole it.
Like the red machete,
like,
kind of thing?
Right. Yeah, so it's like, where is this going to, you know... Is it going to turn up in another, you know, is it going to turn up in the background of another story?
Right.
Or find out who
stole it.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So a couple funny things when Joe's like tied and gagged at Sandra's place and Evie's there asking Sandra, do you know this guy Joe? And Evie's like, he likes football, Iowa, I think. And then Joe's like, and Sandra's like, I think it's Ohio. yeah, when he looks at the lamb and laughs because he's high, and then what is happening? It's fucking dramatic. One thing he said, you know, he said, I my bike has this kill switch designed by moi, and she goes, I'll figure it out, Monsieur. I'm like, someone should have told her how to pronounce Monsieur. The director should have told her. And then last note, next week. Did you watch the like little teaser for next week?
No. Uh-huh.
No. So I won't give away too much, but it looks bananas. It's Parker Posey's episode. This is just a little bit of a spoiler, but I hope it'll just be more intriguing than anything. It looks like it's right at the beginning of the apocalypse before anyone knows what the hell's going on. And there's one thing that I heard about it that's really interesting, but I don't want to give that away, but there's some aspect of it that's like, oh my God, what? So I'm really anxious to watch it. Lucy said, yeah, that it was exceptional and that I'm going to dig it. So I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm probably going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a little break, but there's more to come. Stay with us.
We all know that people are the same. What we need to survive together, alive. Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
All right, so you probably knew this, but AMC has announced the final 8 episodes of The Walking Dead are going to start airing on Sunday, October 2nd. That puts the series finale on Sunday, November 20th. So that's when we're going to have our finale party. I'm assuming they're not going to show that episode a week early on AMC Plus, but either way, I had to put a stake in the ground. So November 20th, Sunday, it's going to be at the new Parkway Theater here in the Bay Area. It's this really cool theater that has like couches and easy chairs and food and beer. And it's basically like a big giant living room vibe that we're all going to be able to sit there and watch it in.
That's going to be so fun.
I know. And we're going to do a live podcast after with me, Lucy, Karen, Chris from Talking Dead, and the podcast, not Chris Hardwick. And we're going to, you know, have other maybe podcast hosts come up and also get feedback from you guys in the audience. And then we're going to turn it into kind of a fun weekend with optional activities. I want to get an Alcatraz tour going because that's really cool. Have you done that?
I lived in San Francisco. I have never been to Alcatraz always wanted to. So I think that would be so much fun with a bunch of people. Yeah.
And then I want to maybe get people to walk across the Golden Gate since it's such a big icon of San Francisco. And then we'll definitely find a place to have drinks together, possibly at Karen's house. And there's a Facebook group for people who are planning to come or thinking about coming. So if you're just thinking about it, you might want to join that and you can ask people questions or whatever. If you want information on any of that, go to podcastica.com/TWD finale party. Next, ScreenRant.com reported that Sarah Wayne Callies, who of course played Laurie, was on John Bernthal's podcast, Real Ones. And they talked about when Frank Darabont got fired from The Walking Dead back in season 2. Did you know about any of that since you're newer to the show?
Only a little bit from kind of going back and listening to all the old podcasts. Mm. So, but not a whole lot about it. I mean, I knew that like they kind of changed the showrunners and.
Yeah, they had a few like oustings, a couple.
Yeah.
But he, you know, when it was announced he was going to be doing the series, that was exciting because he directed The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption and The Mist, and so he just seemed like a big deal, and he did the first season and half the second season. And so anyways, Sarah Wayne Callies said, to me it just felt like an assassination. The reasons that we were given were that he's inexperienced as a showrunner and he's unprepared and he doesn't know what he's doing. But this motherfucker, 1 month before we started shooting season 2, dropped 6 completed scripts in my lap and said, you can learn these lines, they're not going to change. And they were wonderful. This might be a controversial thing to say. You cannot beat his writing. You can't. And there are some really good people who've been writing on that show since, and I got a lot of love and respect for them. Nobody writes like Frank Darabont. That's a whole different level. I don't know if I agree with that. I think some aspects of his writing, like giving the show heart and making us care about the characters, were great from the start. But maybe he was thinking too much like a movie, because I know season 2 is some people's favorites, but to me it felt like they were just hitting the same emotional beats over and over again each episode, like a soap opera or something. Mm-hmm. And they were spending forever looking for Sophia and all that. And I don't know. I gotta go back and watch it again. But anyway, it was crazy when he got fired.
Yeah. I can imagine, you know, like for sure.
That's why Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale, left. He asked to go after that because
he was really
like Darabont brought in Laurie Holden, Jeffrey DeMunn, and Melissa McBride. They were all in The Mist, his movie The Mist. And when he was close friends with Jeffrey DeMunn, and you know, Jeffrey DeMunn felt loyal to him. So when Darabont got fired, Jeffrey DeMunn asked to be let out of his contract, killed Dale off. Yeah. All right. Next, this is about this week's episode. Deadline interviewed Channing Powell, the showrunner, and Terry Crews. They said, so it sure looks like this isn't the end for Joe and Evie by a long stretch. Will we see more of the two of them in the evolving Walking Dead universe? Powell said, I'm not opposed to it. That was the intention. I really like their chemistry together. I thought if it works out between them and we get a second, third, or fourth season, or, you know, people love these characters, I'd love to keep the door open and explore more of their story together. That'd be cool.
That would be fantastic. I would love that.
They said, is season 1 a launch pad, literally and figuratively, from your perspective? Powell says, well, we were hoping to make 6 little movies. We kind of came into it thinking, okay, we're creating 6 different pilots and they can all have a different tone. And Terry Crews says, that's exactly it. It's almost like six movies, but this is the thing for me and what I love and the fact that I don't die. It's the fact that they did a brilliant job of establishing me in the world. And we all know, if you ever watch The Walking Dead, that if anything ends hopeful, all of a sudden there's going to be a twist. So I have to say, like, I would jump back, I mean, in a millisecond, if I could come back in any of these spinoffs in any of these franchises.
That's awesome.
They say, is there room for that in the growing Walking Dead universe with the Daryl Dixon spinoff, Fear, the Negan and Maggie spinoff, and more? Powell said, well, the anthology stretches across the entire timeline of the flagship show and then goes beyond it. I'm not going to say specifically what year we go into, but the hope is that we imply that we're some years into the future in one of these episodes and we're not hindered by the timeline at all. So if you see, like, spaceships and androids, that'll be a clue.
Right.
With zombies. And there's some good stuff here from Terry Crews about this episode. It's a bit long, but I think I really like it, so I'm going to read it. They say, Terry, on the screen, your career has had a bit of everything in it at this point, starring in the iconic Idiocracy, the Expendables franchise, and Deadpool 2 on the big screen, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on the small screen, and hosting America's Got Talent, obviously, to name a few. But I have to say, there seems to be a lot of you in Joe, the more vulnerable side. He says, oh, that's real. That's real, man. You got to understand, I had a lot of pain, a lot of anger. I mean, I had, you know, I'd become a persona instead of being a real person. You become Terry Crews, the character, and inside you're hollow. You know, I look at Flint, Michigan, growing up there. Like, I had friends who ended up on crack who became like zombies. People were stealing. There was murder. You know, Flint, Michigan was the murder capital per capita in the United States for almost 10 years straight. And there was blood in the streets, man. It was crazy, and it was the most wonderful city right before that. It was beautiful. General Motors was the number one corporation in the world, and then it was overnight. You have to understand, my high school's not standing anymore. Like, all the places that I went as a kid, it's fields, it's gone, and I mean disappeared. You can only imagine in America, but I knew this as a kid. I said, I got to get out of here. And Joe had the same mentality. And he goes, how do you mean that? He says he saw the world, he knew this was going to happen, and he was right. But the problem is that no man is an island. I mean, we're all social creatures, and this is the thing. Even with me, I realized that if I didn't open up and if I didn't get help, I was going to die. I was going to basically disappear, and I went to therapy. When I finally found out how to open up and how to kind of get in touch with who I was and my feelings and the whole thing, it was a world changer. This is what Evie does for Joe, because she's just non-realistic, you know. He's like, I'm being real and this is what it is, but she sees more. I just thought that was nice.
Yeah, God, that just makes me love him even more, you know.
I know. And, yeah,
and that's definitely right. Like, that parallels so much of his personal experience of feeling like, you know, like a caricature of himself, whereas, like, the character Joe that he's playing is, you know, and it starts out this just stereotypical, you know, football, sports, you know, all he's watching is football games over and over again, but there's so much more to who he is and so much depth and
it's really about cool. Not only like us looking beyond someone else's character, but you not just letting yourself be that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to listener moans, groans, and grunts. You want to go first?
Sure. Okay. So Mo Favo says, took a while to get going, but I was glad I stuck with it. Was a little clunky, but agree that if there is a variety of stories and locations, it should be a solid option until Back to the Walking Dead. Easily better than Fear.
That is a low bar, but I
agree. Yeah.
Tej Mateel says, what was with the makeup? Are we into it that it was some odd ritual? Either way, I thoroughly enjoyed checking in on the preppers. That's a good point. Why would you put on that makeup?
I think that's part of her whole psychosis, right? And that's why I'm saying it kind of reminded me of Buffalo Bill, right? Where he's dancing, you know, in front of the mirror and he's putting on the lipstick and, you know, the whole thing. So it's kind of like, just like how she didn't kill Joe, right? She slashed his neck a couple of times, but she didn't kill him right away, because why would she do that? She's going to play with her prey, right? So I think that's just a whole part of the thing, because she could have just killed him immediately. She could have left him up, you know, watched him get eaten by Zeds on the screen, but like, she let him in So that's, I think that's part of her whole kind of like serial killer, you know, she's got to lure him in. She's going to play with them. And I think if Evie didn't show up, she would have killed him for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so
she was about to, she tried.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
hit his crystal.
Yeah. Then the crystal, you know, saved his saved life. Him. So it did yeah. more than just dispel bad vibes.
Right. Dispelled her bad vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Steve Barr says, what I'm hoping for from the series is a diversity of stories, writers, locations, etc., where the only constant is the slow zombies. This episode was fine, but I hope all the rest are different from it for better and for worse.
I think it will be. That's the impression I get, especially seeing the next week teaser.
Yeah, that's interesting. There may be some fast slow zombies, right?
Yeah.
Right, because if they're talking about the timeline going, you know, beyond future. where we know. We know that there's fast zombies in the future, so.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Alma Contreras says, I guess I'm a harsh critic because I just thought this first episode was meh. I guess Joe just got lonely after his dog died, but he had a good setup that still had electricity and looked pretty well stocked. I would not have left it if I was him. Evie cracked me up. I thought it was funny that they drove from Ohio all the way to Michigan without running into very many walkers. Seemed a little sus, but I can't wait to hear the podcast. Alma, I think I don't believe you. I think because I don't really know you all that well, but you seem like a people person. And I bet you if your dog died, you'd want to get out and mingle.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Oh, so Greg Schwamm says, I enjoyed it. It was a little predictable, but I liked Terry Crews and Olivia Munn. And I could see how a pet could make the apocalypse a little less difficult, especially if you were a survivalist, doomsday prepper. And it made sense that Sandra would tend to believe that anybody who showed up was out to get her and her place. It was common enough during seasons 1 through 3. I do wish, and I'm hoping, they put together some more of the start of the apocalypse, kind of what we were hoping for in Fear. Not the best, but entertaining enough for me to stay engaged. The beginning really gave me Desmond from Lost vibes, which makes sense because that was the first bunker scene I remember from TV. Mm-hmm. Look forward to hearing the coverage. And he gives it 3 out of 5 gacks.
Nice. Megan Dively Lehman says, I really liked this episode and thought it was a strong opener for this series. The opening sequence in the bunker reminded me of Desmond in Lost. I can't believe the dog only lived about 3.5 minutes into the episode, yet I was so attached. Bravo, dog actor. That was a good dog actor.
Yeah.
The road trip with the vintage postcard motif was really fun, and I love that they just stopped to look at the sunset and had all these little moments. Both main characters were well constructed and interesting. By far the most entertaining portion was the sequence in the second bunker when it was clear from the start to me that something was just a little off about his lady friend, and it got worse from there. A lot worse. The actress was just perfect. When Evie came to save Joe and wasn't at all fazed by the pot brownie, I totally called it because she had talked about being a marijuana devotee a few times. I said she's going to have a high tolerance. When she busted out the martial arts moves, I laughed at the look on the crazy lady's face. That was capoeira, by the way, which is like a blend
of Brazilian jiu-jitsu,
it's
right?
Dance and spirituality and all kinds of stuff mixed into one. So it's perfect for her.
It was awesome.
And then when Joe threw the cleaver at her and it landed in her chest and she was like, oh shit, I laughed again. The only thing that bothered me was that they should have known to do the headshot after she died. And then they could have stayed there for a while and enjoyed her luxury bunker and packed up on supplies before leaving. Also, I didn't quite catch what happened to the ex-husband. Did Evie just see the painting and decide that she was at peace knowing that he didn't hate her and then she didn't want to pursue it any further? That was a little unclear to me. Yeah, that was a little unclear to me too. Maybe she just didn't know where else to go, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So what you gonna do? She goes on, I thought the production values were very good and the see-through chest cavity zombie was super cool. Looking forward to your reaction. Yep.
Yeah, that was the best zombie. A long time.
Okay, we have a couple of calls. Here's one from Claire.
Hey guys, it's Claire, leaving feedback for Tales of the Walking Dead. I enjoyed it enough. I think I made the mistake of getting my hopes up that it was going to be a great show, which was probably silly because I have watched Fear the Walking Dead. But I enjoyed it overall. Things I liked the overall storyline. I thought it was a solid enough storyline from start to finish. The dog dying in the beginning seemed like a good way to propel Joe's character to go out and search for something more. And I enjoyed his relationship. I thought he actually had pretty decent chemistry with Olivia Munn. I enjoyed Olivia Munn. I thought she was a fun, hippy-dippy-trippy girl. Terry Crews is a terrible actor, but I still really actually enjoyed watching him. He gave a fun performance. I thought it could have benefited from a little more kitsch. I wasn't thinking that this was going to be a really good, solid show in the first place. I didn't think it was going to have like excellent writing and directing and acting and performances. So I thought it was an opportunity to maybe have a little more fun. And I think they did have fun, but I thought they could have even, I don't know, played with it even a little bit more so that it could have had just a different tone, because it definitely gave me some Fear the Walking Dead vibes. I saw the gas masks in the bunker in the beginning, and the fog when Terry Crews took his dog out to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh no, please don't let this be part of the Fear the Walking Dead shit show nuclear fallout plot line. And it wasn't. So I was happy about that. I'm really excited, though, to see still where these one-off episodes are going to go. I'm especially excited for Anthony Edwards, the episode featuring him, because I'm a big ER fan. And of course, I still have a special place in my heart for Revenge of the Nerds.
Yep,
and so too. I'm excited to see Anthony Edwards in this universe. Anything that's not part of the flagship Walking Dead show has just left me a little disappointed. I don't think anything has managed to capture the heart of Rick Grimes and crew. And I don't think anything probably will. But for what it was, I enjoyed it. I'm going to stick with it. And I can't wait to see what you guys thought of it. So God bless.
Well, I'm curious to hear if our talk changed your thoughts on any of that, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I mean, I do think they will play with the tone more. I wonder if maybe they started with one that's fairly close to normal Walking Dead, so it wouldn't be too jarring, you know, but we'll see how it evolves from here. But it was one of the more lighter toned episodes, you know, but Walking Dead gets like that a little bit sometimes. Yeah. Too, I feel like. And one more call from Steve Brown.
Hello, Walking Dead cast. This is Steve, and this is for the first episode of Tales of the Walking Dead. I totally, time got away from me, and I didn't realize this episode was already out. So when I watched it this week, I thought I had another week before it actually aired. So no live Steve, but man, I absolutely love Terry Crews. He was so good in this, and I loved how there was stuff in the trailers that we saw, but there was a bunch of stuff outside of the trailers we didn't see. The twist of the other prepper woman being a psycho. Crazy. I absolutely loved it. I can't wait to see what the rest of these Tales of the Walking Dead shows give us, and I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. I can't wait to watch it again, and I can't wait to watch this week's, because I realize now I've got two episodes out. Okay. I might live Steve the next one.
Oh. Do it.
Oh, I hope he does.
A lot of Walking Dead stuff. Please do. Can't wait to see everybody in San Francisco for the finale. Talk to you later.
Ooh, nice one. Yeah. While he was talking, it occurred to me, because Mark told me that Steve doesn't like to swear on. Steve has a podcast, Steve and Mark, Panels to Pixels. You should check that out. But anyways, they don't like to swear. I swear all the time. But I noticed in this episode of Tales of the Walking Dead, they used the F word twice.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked, a little shocked by the first one. Then I'm like, sometimes they get one. I'm like, oh, yeah. They dropped it twice in a row.
I know.
Like, yeah.
I love
yeah.
that. That's how people yeah. talk, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. That's more realistic in that. And yeah. that. No, they use it three times, because at the end, when he's totally high, he's like, that was fucking traumatic. Oh, so,
I thought yeah, that was the second one. That was the third one?
Because they, when they're arguing and she drops it, I can't remember, and then he's like, fuck you. Uh-huh. Like right back to her. And then.
That yeah, was so the they, first yeah, there one. Was,
there were two in that conversation back and forth with was. Them. And then I think the third one was when he was giggling okay. about, you know, the whole experience he'd just been through.
can't believe you just come on and swear on my podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Sorry.
It's all fucking right. All right, that is our show, episode 475. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope that a bunch of you guys are sticking with the show and watching along with us. It'd be fun to get more comments and stuff. Thanks for coming on, Sadie. That was fun.
Yeah, thanks.
It's good. Good to have you on. Hopefully you can do some more sometime. If you want to write in or leave us a message, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Are you listening to anything that we've been doing other than Walking Dead, or anything coming up that you're interested in?
We're about to start watching Lock and Key as a family.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, so we'll definitely be listening to that. And yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And yeah. Then I watched Stranger Things, and I couldn't get my husband to watch that. So so I binged it and watched it. So I'm going to go back and listen to the Strange Indeed for that, too.
Yeah, Rima and Paik are so great on that show. And their episodes are super long, but they don't even feel like it. But that's on Strange Indeed. So yeah, right now, the only other thing that's out, I think, well, no, there's two. There's Better Call Saul, which the final episode airs tonight. In fact, I'm going to go watch it as soon as I'm done recording this. Final episode of the series. And that show is so good, and it's been so much fun to podcast on it with David and Rima, and that's been out on the House Podcastica feed, but also its own podcast, Better Call Saul Cast. Mark and Jamie just started covering Sandman. I haven't even watched it yet. I heard it's good.
It's really good.
Cool. Yeah, Rima and Paik and I just started the final season of Lock and Key. I love that show over on Strange Indeed. Coming out this month, She-Hulk Attorney at Law, hosted by Penny, who's a former attorney at law, and Greg. House of the Dragon, the big Game of Thrones sequel, comes out in like a week, hosted by Kristen, who's returning to podcast. I'm super excited. And Rima, that's going to be a great team. And then Lord of the Rings in September, hosted by Anwen and Penny. So tons of stuff coming up.
Right, yeah, now. A lot of good stuff coming up. It's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Exciting and anxiety inducing. No, it's a lot. Next episode of this podcast, Tales of the Walking Dead, season one, episode two, Blair/Gina stars Parker Posey. It looks good, and Lucy liked it, so I'm excited to watch that too. I want to mention this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Wes May, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Wes. If you pledge, you get, for one thing, ad-free episodes, so you don't have to listen to those ads. You can feel good about supporting the show. If you pledge at a certain amount, you get our Patreon exclusive podcast, The Zedhead Show. You can be in the Facebook group, all kinds of stuff. And finally, I want to mention one more time, you can come and watch the Walking Dead series finale with me and Lucy, Karen, Chris, Rima, Sadie, and a bunch of other Zedheads. If you go to podcastica.com/TWD finale party right now, you can find out more information. That's podcastica.com/TWD finale party. All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Chris Plunkett.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.